is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul phone lines are now open. Call in now for a free intuitive reading on the air. Dial 646-595-4274. That's 646-595-4274.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hosho Tara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hosho Tara back to News for the Soul.
Hi everybody, welcome to this hour of News for the Soul. I'm your host, El Maya Hoshiam Tara. I see we already have area code 651 in the lineup, so if you just hold on, you'll be first up. So let's talk a little bit, because I talked a lot about poking holes in a lot of the stuff that's out there in terms of self-development and spirituality. And, when people are really hurting, of course, you know, the self-defenses come up, and unfortunately things like the entitlement comes up, like, well, everybody does it to me, I should be allowed to do it to other people. And if, you know, you have that on an idea where you're feeling hurt by somebody else doing those things, that means you're spreading pain to other people. And, you know, when you see people who are really, really stuck, they usually don't correlate their behaviors with why they're in pain and suffering. They just correlate it with every other, you know, all the other people doing stuff, quote unquote, to them. And of course, you know, when they've got people getting upset with them, those other people who are taking their stuff out on them, it's the exact same pattern, right? It's that pattern of, you know, I shouldn't have to take care of things or be self-responsible or not hurt other people because other people do it. And does everybody do it? No. Does everybody do it to that degree? No. That's just a story that people sort of tell themselves. And when you're on the receiving end of it, stories vary greatly in terms of what people think, you know, their reasonings for why they should be able to do those things. And, you know, sometimes people take offense to that. But there's a lot more crazy stuff out there than you think that there is by a long shot. And some of those things, they don't really even make sense. If you're outside of the situation, like, of course, you know, that's going to cause people to get rejected. But if people don't understand that, you know, it's like, you know, freaking out on somebody else because you didn't tell me I wasn't allowed to cheat, you know, and they get dumped. And that definitely is one thing that does happen. You know, somebody cheats and, you know, it's your fault. You didn't tell them they weren't allowed to cheat. So, you know, you're the horrible person for breaking up with them. And codependency, you know, really goes, the more that there is, it really swings for, you know, the places that people feel entitled to hurt other people. And then, of course, those same people are on the receiving end of it back, and then they'll say, it's because I'm a victim. No, it's because people are repeating patterns that come in some cases when people feel like they're a victim and they feel like they should be allowed to lash out. And so what are you a victim of? Well, you know, in a lot of cases, when you're feeling like a victim, yes, there are some things that you don't have control over. You know, walking to your car at night in the grocery, you know, from the grocery store, attacks happen. So there are things where people are more innocent. The problem is with codependency, it's not that simple. You know, in some cases, people are like, you can't blame the victim. But just because somebody feels like a victim, because they're not correlating their own behaviors where they're at fault, does not actually make somebody a victim. And if you are saying, no, that behavior is not acceptable, you're not victim shaming when somebody's not a victim. So, for example, if somebody doesn't replace the coffee pods, and you're like, you know, it's office policy, you need to replace you take the last coffee pod, you need to take it, you're victim shaming. You know, it's like, no, you're responsible for replacing the coffee pods, you know, and they'll give you a bunch of excuses. Now, is it always, you know, like 0 to 60 like that, completely and absolutely going over all common sense to just kind of like come to the conclusion? No, but does that exist? Absolutely. You know, sometimes people think it's, you know, people that you're always going to want to stay away from. And you can not recognize that somebody has that level of codependency. You know, maybe you don't get along, maybe you don't, they're not your favorite person, but you don't understand that the level of codependency is there until they come out swinging with it. You know, and so if somebody's coming in making a lot of trouble, and you're saying no, or they're not invited to a birthday party, you know, and they're accusing you of being bullying because you don't, you and your friends decide you don't want somebody at your birthday party because they're coming in being abusive, you know, that's not bullying. That's putting a boundary against somebody who's, you know, maybe bullying, maybe being toxic, or in some cases definitely being toxic. So it doesn't work that way. And, you know, we're sort of like on this downhill tilt here in North America where it's like you're supposed to always be giving into that. And the problem is that there's not always a rhyme or reason for why somebody is feeling like a victim, except for that they have the habit. Well, yes, some people have, you know, had abuses or, you know, genuine toxicities. It doesn't always correlate to the amount of abuse that they're putting out on other people, and that's really important to understand. And because you can't control what somebody else does, the only thing you can really do is say, no, I'm not going to be involved with that. Walk away, have your own life. you know, people tend to feel very rejected in those circumstances, and then they want to be accommodated for that. But if you have a community that spends more time accommodating codependency, you will at some point have a community that is more accommodating abuse, accommodating toxicity. And this is why you get people who, you know, they don't understand that. They don't want to take responsibility for their lives. They're going into a working environment. The person there is thinking that they're being a nice person, giving this person a job because they realize that the chance that person's going to have a job anywhere else probably going to be very low. Or they're going to be able to get a job in a place that's not going to, you know, really hate them because they don't, you know, people don't want to put up with the abuses or the toxicity that they're doing. You know, that same person will go in, you know, and instead of being grateful for a job, be, you know, very upset, you know, how dare you? Oh, look at that boss not making good decisions, you know. Look at all those people he has in here, not looking at that's part of the reason why they were able to get the job was because they had somebody who had low boundaries or that they were dealing with somebody who was trying to help somebody who's in their position. And that's why the office is full of them. And they're not correlating that with that's why the office is so tough. you know, and again, because you can always, you know, take yourself further and act like you're more of a victim than you are and have more of a reaction to it because of that. You can end up in this very often happens, you'll get people with those patterns who basically keep ending up in situations where they keep being abused, nobody likes them, they're getting rejected, and the whole nine yards. And that is one of the dangers of, you know, playing the victim till kingdom come and not taking responsibility or, you know, trying to get out of things by playing the victim. It's a really surefire way to crash, you know, everybody. And that's why you see entire communities where everybody, you know, not everybody, but it kind of looks like from the outside, perhaps most people, if not all people, are constantly feeling like they're a victim. That's what it looks like. And you can't change those communities until people want to make the changes within themselves. And the people that do, more likely than not, if they're able to do it enough, they will want to leave those communities because it's safer, because it's healthier, because it's the only way to survive. You know, it's the only way to be able to live without having a ton of abuse and all those sorts of things. So, you know, some of these things are very real, and it's important to understand that about why people go through abuse. And are there some things where they are actually abuse? Absolutely. Absolutely. you know, some parents let people get their hands on their children, for example, because a parent has very low boundaries and they're getting, you know, sexually abused. For example, but does that happen? Absolutely. And some people deliberately look for, you know, people who are compromised so that they can, you know, beat them, for example, and because they're not going to have any other options. It may look like, you know, so some guys deliberately, you know, play poor. And so if you're a woman who's buying into that, and that was very popular and very common, unfortunately, for women my age group and older, where it was like, you know, oh, you know, guys don't like a chick who's really good in terms of her finances, and you should apologize for being healthy and making money, you know. And for the women who bought into that and believed it, they didn't make enough money to be able to financially support themselves, And without that, it becomes a lot harder to protect yourself. And so some guys were, you know, deliberately saying they don't want a chick to make money, even though they didn't want to, you know, give her a massive payout after a breakup or a divorce or whatever. But they were doing it so that she would be prone, so that she wouldn't have the financial resources to leave. And women who made money anyways but are still sort of caught in that pattern, and you'll see this a lot, you know, they're like, oh, you know, a guy, you know, they're sort of like still apologizing for making money because they're believing in the codependency. And then they're like, oh, nobody's going to want me. And then they keep ending up in abusive relationships. And they're like, this is what I get for making money. No, it's that you have the belief system that if you make money, you're going to have to settle. And so they keep ending up with guys that if they didn't have that belief system and if other things were worked out, they would never date that guy because the guy would be too slimy. It would be too settling. You know, and the higher up you go, you realize like it's not just settling, although in codependency it can feel like settling, but the higher up you go, it's not just settling. It's like a really bad decision or it's ignoring warning signs. And that's not always going to be the case, but in codependency, you know, when people don't want to take responsibility for that, then of course it becomes like, you know, oh no, it's, you know, it's never my fault. It's never my fault. And it's like, well, fault is, you know, part of responsibility. It doesn't go away just because people don't like it. So, and that's why, you know, it can be very hard to get out of codependency is because you have to take responsibility for your life in many different areas in order to get out of codependency. And that can be a very frustrating experience to see, get people who are like, well, it doesn't work that way. Well, yes, it does. Excuse me, just because they haven't figured that out yet. Excuse me, doesn't mean that it works differently. but when they don't understand that and then they're getting rejected, you know, in some cases by people who do understand that, you know, it becomes like, well, you're judging me. You're judging me by saying that, you know, when my warning signs were flaring, that was not a good idea to date that guy. You're judging me. You're victim shaming. And it's like, no, that's somebody trying to do pattern correction. So what do you have at the end of the day? You know, you're doing your own work. And yes, other people who are also doing the work can help to solidify that, yes, healthy behaviors work. Healthy behaviors are okay because not everybody understands that. Not everybody understands that to enough of a degree. But it's, you know, when you're out of it enough, you understand like everybody has to do their own work. When people are shaming you for that, it's because they don't understand enough or even very much at all that they have to be responsible for doing their own work. And they're very hard to get out of it until somebody's willing to come to that realization and do their work. And then they're trying to save other people who also have the same behavioral pattern, which is why some people, you know, spend like literally decades, you know, trying to change somebody that they can't even stand. They're mad at how they're being treated. They're mad that this person isn't responsible enough. They're mad about this. They're mad about that. Oh, well, look at how you let me down. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You're such a horrible person. and they'll spend decades doing that. And, you know, you see, you know, people who are senior citizens still mad. As a wet hen, just, you know, absolutely fuming that they've been abused and, you know, and I've never seen, you know, so many abusive victims before. But that happens, you know. Why are you abusive? If you're a victim, for some people are victims and they know they're abusive. And that's why they don't leave abusive situations. You know, why does that happen? Well, generally speaking, because those patterns are very, very hard to be on the receiving end of, number one. Number two, if you think things that are your responsibility or somebody else's fault, of course, you're going to be upset about that. That would make sense. you know, and then people just sit around and say, well, I'm being treated this way, even when it's not true. And when people are very stuck in it, they often know that they're twisting things around to make it seem like they're more stuck than they are. But again, that's something that somebody has to be willing to admit them to themselves and quit serving things to get out of it. And some people need training because they just don't have enough experience with the positives. So those are the reasons, like, you know, why sometimes it doesn't work to get out of codependency. And those are the, some of the patterns that keep people stuck, you know, and why I address them here. But again, you know, if you've ever tried to address people, some people with this stuff outside of here, they're very mad about it, you know, and it's just like, rah, 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 you know, how dare you suggest it? You know, they're not allowed to, you know, take it out on a coworker because they themselves were late for work and the coworker, you know, said, you know, they're very strict on the office policy. You have to be on time, just letting you know. And they're like, you're fucking attacking me, you bitch, you know. And it's like, you know, and again, I'm talking about, you know, larger extremes here, but even at smaller extremes, you can absolutely go through you know, sheer amounts of hassle, pain, and suffering when people do not want to, you know, take themselves out of it, when they don't want to take responsibility for it. And sometimes they put it politely and say, well, somebody's just not ready. And is that true? Yeah. I mean, there's always the next level and you're not always going to be ready for it. But that being said, you know, people sometimes don't want to be ready for it because they just don't want to be, right? And those things are important to consider as well. So when we're looking at, you know, the positive stuff, it's not ignoring things that are going to be harmful. It's not about, it's just simply about helping you to break through those patterns where you're, you know, where those things that aren't serving do exist. And this is not about overthrowing people a pity party, because that is not necessarily going to be beneficial anyways. In fact, some people who think that the world is in such a dire place that they're consistently, you know, like, I will throw you a pity party. Look, I will ignore my own needs and I will feel sorry for you and will ignore all the other people you're hurting because the pain you suffer as a quote-unquote victim, even if the person started it. You get people who do that and they're really trying hard to be very loving and they get burned. And it's the darndest thing. Why does that happen? Because everybody needs interdependency and everybody gets burned in codependency. And if you're more codependent than somebody, your chances start to go down that people are going to be willing to listen to you. Codependency, that's mean, that's wrong. I'm willing to, you know, ignore all the facts and just go based on feelings, you know, and then they get burnt because the person who's not in reality and is lashing out at everybody, that somebody is more likely to burn you, right? So they don't even get the friendships that they want to get. But then they get rejected by other people for backing up the codependency because you're backing up abuse in some cases, or you're backing up toxicity. So, you know, these things are there. And, you know, sometimes in just a really short form, people are trying to push love and et cetera to help break people out of those patterns. And can it help break those patterns? To some degree, yeah. Just not completely and absolutely for everything that needs to be broken. And then that's where things like, you know, processing come in. That's where, you know, pattern evaluation comes in. That's where, you know, being in reality of, you know, oh, wait, you know, something's going wrong here. Obviously, I don't know how to do this. And going in and talking to somebody or, you know, what have you. Those are just the points of, like, when the self-development doesn't work or, you know, having love in your heart doesn't work, because you're not getting results that you want, because having your love in your heart doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be safer. It doesn't necessarily mean people are going to stop abusing you. It can, you know, calm it down in some cases, but, you know, you slip at all, you know, outside of that, or in some cases people are still too codependent. They're saying that they're being loving, but the energy is very weak. And then they get rejected because the energy is very weak. And, you know, having love in their hearts will not, you know, cover that up. An example of that is when trauma is held in the body. Because, I mean, you've all seen people at some point where you just know, like, no, that's a deal breaker for you. And you can tell instantaneously you're just going to want to stay away from that person. And they can tell you that they have love in their heart. They may even feel like they're practicing having love in their heart. And you'll still sense other things that are just going to make them too dangerous to be involved with. And does it happen? Absolutely, because, you know, having love in your heart does not cover, you know, certain aspects. It does not resolve or dissolve them. And in fact, it can make it harder to have love in your heart. So, you know, the positive serving behaviors, you know, it's important to understand it's just because that's the stuff that's actually supposed to build you when you know how to do it. And it works very differently in interdependency than it does in codependency. So let's see here. So we have 651, and we have Annie again, and we have International, who keeps dropping. And they're back. Okay, so we're going to start with 651 and then Annie. So 651, you're on the air with El Maya Hoshiam Tara. Hello, area code 651. Okay, how about 781, Annie? Try Anne.
I'm here. Hi, Annie. How you doing?
Oh, okay. It's a better week this week. Seems to be over some physical maladies, but still dealing with the cancer, but I feel better today. And my poor daughter, she ended up in bed for a week with something. So she's been in and out of the emergency room, the doctor's office, but she seems to be coming around. I don't know whether it's some strange new virus going, but she seems to be better finally today, which is good. So I love you. Go ahead.
If your daughter is into any of this stuff, have her call Jane and have her do a pen and paper and learn how to hold energetic boundaries, because your daughter is energetically susceptible to being wiped out by things that aren't good for her.
Yes. I know. I think she's like a swarm sometimes comes around her.
Let's see here. Hold on. She seems to get run over energetically sometimes, and that's one of the things that can contribute to why she's getting sick.
Well, codependency on a large scale is one of the reasons here at this house.
Yeah, that too. But, if there are people who are, going through a lot of issues in the vicinity too, that will also plow her. Like, it's not just, codependent patterns, although that can definitely do it, but that's not, I'm being shown, if somebody has the flu, say it's very strong and it's very sick, she'll get flattened energetically,
okay.
Even if she doesn't have anything to do with them. Some people do get steamrollered a lot easily. Maybe Jane would be able to explain that a little bit better. I have found other books that do explain it from more of a psychology or psychiatry. I forget which one that is. Thing where some people just don't actually have the boundaries and they are more susceptible. But yeah, your daughter can get taken out by the flu from somebody that she hasn't met just because somebody's got the vibe or something like that. She's definitely a lot more, energetically open, and, energetically open is good, but not when you're taking on other people's flus, for example. And she does have capacity to, get flattened by somebody else's car accident, for example, can really take its toll on her, which is really interesting. So if she does believe in this stuff, get her to call Jane on Mondays.
I will. Will do. That'll be great. So how am I doing overcoming my codependency? Am I going to be through with that in this lifetime?
Well, here's the thing. Since you and I first started talking, you're doing so much better. I can hear it in your voice. The clarity, et cetera. So, you have really done a lot of work tremendously. Let's see about the codependency. Hold on. So what they're saying is, because you have such a loving heart, and sometimes we hear this in codependency, right? I'm codependent because I have a loving heart. and sometimes it's an excuse and sometimes it's true. And with you, you need the lesson. So part of your lesson from this is being willing to do self-care. The fact that doing self-care does not make you a bad person. Until you're willing to understand and receive that and actually get that into your body, how many lifetimes you go through codependency again is up to you. So you could end it in this one with a little bit of spillover to the next lifetime, or you could go three lifetimes with this full bore.
Okay. With the self-care, I always find that there's blocks. I physically can feel the blocks. And sometimes it's been to a point where I feel my back is literally against the wall. And I keep saying to myself, I know it's of my own creation, but I still haven't been able to completely overcome that. But I'm sure it's a progress, work in progress.
Right. Well, that one, actually, I'm seeing some sort of body. I just got rid of it. I assumed I had your permission. I can put it back if you want to, but I'm assuming you don't.
Goodbye.
yeah.
Yeah, that one, like, I could literally see being a being there, like, holding you sort of, like, back against your wall. So that should be easier to make the breakthroughs now. You know, the thing is, like, the most important thing to understand, you know, about doing self-care or letting people sort of, like, stand on their own 2 feet is that the universe works in, like, really mysterious ways. And sometimes the way it gets you to mind your own business is that it will put you in a situation where you just can't win. Excuse me. And not only can you not just win, but you're kind of like, excuse me, really screwed either way. You're like, you're really screwed if you do, you're really screwed if you don't. And that's often used by the universe as a way to sort of like squeeze you out of a negative position, provided that the person is willing to let themselves get squeezed out of it. And of course, you know, in codependency, it's very often made wrong that, you know, how dare you, you know, quote unquote, leave somebody at the darkest days. And I mean, you know, you hear that and I mean, yeah, I mean, how would you leave somebody at their darkest days? But, you know, what is darkest days, you know, sometimes is, you know, like say grandma, you know, breaks a hip and is in the hospital and needs help coming out. Would I suggest, you know, somebody ditch grandma and say, well, grandma, you know, you couldn't afford to hire me, that's your problem, you know, and take off. Would I suggest that? Absolutely freaking not. You know, help grandma. Let's be really, you know, real about this. But if somebody's, you know, constantly blowing up jobs, for example, and they're going to be a little bit short that week and you can't take them into your house because they're going to be absolutely abusive, you know, codependency, it's like, well, that's bad and mean and wrong. How dare you, you know, take somebody in who now that they've got free rent and now that they can eat your food may not leave for 6 months and you may be dealing with abuse for 6 months or a year. And codependency says, you know, that's bad and wrong. How dare you do that? If you're out of it enough, you know, you understand you have a right to protect yourself, especially if your kids are still young and they're at home. I don't believe you have a right to put your children through, you know, abuse and stress because somebody else hasn't figured their life out or doesn't want to. So, you know, if you believe that, you put yourself back in those situations. And some people are like, look how this person's, you know, abusing my daughter and they're looking for compassion or sympathy or like, how do I get out of this? And they can find, you know, people are very mean and rude about it, you know, to the point where they'd rather, you know, like get back at the mom than, you know, help protect the child, which, again, I don't agree with. But, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody loses a job, they're going to be okay financially. They may not like it. They may be scared, but if they push the pavement, you know, they should be able to get another job and, you know, maybe help them out with $500 or maybe you can't afford to do it and they're just going to have to live on, you know, peanut butter and crackers for a couple of weeks as part of their lesson and their karma for, you know, keeping on being abusive at a job. So self-care really, you know, sometimes can be a really, you know, harsh lesson for the other people, but when it's of their own making, you do have a right to protect yourself, and that is part of, you know, doing self-care is saying no to people that are very abusive, people that are going to blow up your job because they're not doing self-care. And for a large degree, there's a lot of things out there that are just simply people need to organize themselves differently. And if they're open to it, you know, and you're willing to help them organize differently, then they can, you know, clean up a behavioral pattern such as being late for work all the time that can really make a difference in how they interact with the world. So if they're late because they catch too late of a bus because they don't want to show up at work, you know, 45 minutes early, and quite frankly, who would want to do that? You know, saying, well, get a job around at this place around the corner, you know, it's right up your alley. I know you'd really like it. You can just walk there in the mornings. It would be a lot easier on you than having to take a bus. If somebody's open to it, they'll look at getting a job there. If they're not, you know, that's bad and wrong. But the hardship that comes out of that, you know, is not your responsibility. And you don't need to put up with abuse just because somebody doesn't want to get a job a little bit closer to home so that they're able to be on time so that, you know, that gets removed as a reason for why they're being abusive because everybody's quote-unquote mean at work. You know, and that is, you know, that saying no to that or helping somebody organize a pattern differently is part of self-care. And that's not being mean at all. It's just that codependency tends to view, I need to organize myself differently. I need to be in a healthier pattern, tends to view that as mean. And so, you know, there are a lot of people who are looking for somebody like you, you know, because, I mean, it feels good for everybody to get help, right? To have somebody who's going to, you know, help us back up if we fall down. But there's a difference between, you know, everybody trips. At some point in their life, you're going to trip. I know I've tripped a few times in my life, you know, literally on the sidewalk or on a curb or something like that. You know, and if you've got a friend who catches you, great. But there's a difference between that and, you know, somebody's deliberately blowing up situations and doesn't want to make the changes. And so, you know, understanding those differences really does help to put more of that leeway in the codependency, and also understanding sometimes that your self-care is part of your responsibility. If somebody's up partying all night and they can't, because they don't want to say no, because they need to be in bed for 10 and then they're showing up at work groggy, that's not fair to whoever's hiring them. If they're cranky at work and driving off customers, that's not fair to whoever's hiring them. And if you want to go to bed at 10 o'clock, you know, you'd rather spend the evening at home with your family, but everybody's saying that's mean because you're not coming out partying. No, that part of your self-care, even when you prefer it, and sometimes especially when you prefer it, is part of your self-care, and it's part of your self-responsibility as well. So bottom line, you know, there doesn't need to be guilt in a lot of cases, and the guilt for doing the self-care is, you know, what kind of really screws people over sometimes, and it doesn't need to be that way. It's just a matter of getting, you know, a hold of that pattern and having that understanding. That's it, Annie. Right.
Patterns.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and, you know, understanding when you're doing something healthy for yourself, that's allowed. And that's really important to understand. Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, and I'll keep working at it. And thanks for taking that back against the wall feeling. That was great. Sometimes it held me there a little too long.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons why we do need to be careful, especially if we're a little bit more susceptible to codependency, because sometimes, you know, people will tell you something and it's like, this feels wrong, but you can't sort of like pull yourself out from being able to do it. And that's, you know, one of the dangers of hanging out with people that have too much codependency in an area that's a trigger for you. And that's another part of self-care.
Oh, I know. I've been there, done that a lot.
Yeah, I know. Anything else?
I think
anything
that's
else?
Good. Thank you.
Okay, honey.
That's about all I can chew right now.
Okay. Time,
thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see who else is on the line here. We have area code 231. Area code 231. You're on the air with El Maya Hoshiam Tara. Area code 231. Okay, and international. We have an international caller.
Hey, good day, Ellen.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Absolutely awesome, darling. Absolutely awesome. I turned 71 on Monday, and I've never felt so alive. Yeah, I loved your introductory dialogue. It sort of really resonated so well with me. And in my own journey from deprogramming myself from codependent behavior, there was one little phrase that steered me, and that was unsolicited advice is abuse. And also the other real... And the way I look at it is it's a total... disrespect for the equal sovereignty of the other person. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, people that are really, really good at giving advice, my response to that is, hey, mate, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I'm here to live my life my way, not your way. If you want to be a true friend, you be around when I put my hand up and I ask for help.
Yeah.
And the other angle on that part of my journey was the realization that I am the only creator of my life. And what else really rang true? I used to have a propensity for entering into toxic relationships, and until I realized that I was just recreating the environment of the first 7 years of my life. That's what felt like home for me. So by healing the wounds of my childhood, that got rid of that one. And I love what you're saying about, this was a hard one for me to work through. But I got to the space where my personal well-being is my number one job.
Yeah.
Because for years I felt that was selfish, but it's not. It's for me, it's actually primary. And So life is great, and I found the solutions are all simple. You know, it's not rocket science. It's what I call feeling science. But is there anything you can pick up about me and my journey that I'm not seeing?
I will check into that. First off, though, I want to ask you. So you mentioned, you know, the first 7 years, you know, of your life where that felt like home, and you were creating that in relationships. And that's very common. We see that, right? But it's also very common that as we shift, we get new feelings of like, oh, this is what I've been looking for. And if you would, really quickly here, give us an example of when you moved out of that, this toxic relationship feels like home, and when you moved into an example of, oh, this is where I'm meant to be, and I get that. Because I want people to hear it from somebody else other than just me, like that this stuff actually exists.
Yeah. I got a great example. When I was going through John Bradshaw's work on healing the shame that binds you, how can I put it? As a spiritual feeling little being, I have emotional needs. But because of my abusive childhood, it left some holes in my soul, some holes in the development of my soul, if you like, or my emotional maturity. And so what happened when I went into I walk into a nightclub and I look at this woman across the crowded room and our eyes meet, and there's this, wow, yeah, this is the one. but all that was happening is the holes in my soul were picking up on this woman could fill those holes in my soul and I can fill those holes in her soul. So it was a toxic attraction.
Yeah.
And it was only when I healed the wounds of my childhood, healed it, then so now I know, and it doesn't happen anymore really, but in that interim phase of getting really good boundaries, if I ever see a person like that now, I know that that's the last person in the world that I need to be in a relationship with, because for me it's all about interdependency, like heal myself, heal the planet, and I'm looking for a relationship where the lady knows her own shit and is working on it, and not expecting me to come to the rescue, you know, as a knight in shining armor, because I'm the only one that can fix me.
Yeah,
it's my job.
Yeah, and that's a hard one for people to understand, right? Because it can be really scary, because people think sometimes that means that there's not going to be backup in the relationship. But backup is very different than carrying somebody, and I find that that's a really important distinction to make.
Yeah, well, there's a very fine line between caretaking and caregiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you wanted a reading about your past. So was there any specific details you wanted to give me on that?
I'm just looking for another like-hearted perspective on me and my journey.
Okay. One moment here. And you're Bob Eden, right?
Last time I checked, yeah.
Okay. And where are you calling from again, Bob?
The Whitsunday Islands in Australia. So if you look at the map of Australia, I'm at about 2 o'clock on
okay.
the coast.
And what's it called again?
The Whitsunday Islands.
Okay, one moment here. So you're in a really good position for manifestation right now. A lot of people are, which is really great, and you are definitely one of them. It's looking like you're standing on the pot of gold for the rainbow. So it's like, you know, you got the little, not leprechaun because you're not a leprechaun, but like that kind of idea where you can see the rainbow and it's like there's gold light coming in that you're pulling in. So you've got an incredibly strong manifestation ability right now. So that's really good to be using. And let's see here. And so they're saying to start asking for the things that you didn't know you needed yet. Asking for the next level of what you're trying to bring in to create that. Because they're saying that bigger things are in store, and I mean, we both know, you know, there's always that next level, and sometimes we don't know what that next level is going to look like, and they're saying that that's what they're wanting you to pull in now.
Well, that's very interesting, Al, because what has given me so much zest for life is my mission, and I'm on a mission to eradicate suicide. And from my own life experience, I know that it is doable because there's no such thing as mental illness, and depression is just a spiritual wake-up call. And so I've been working on this since about 1990. And now I've written books about it, I've got YouTube videos, and it just seems like I need to get to the next level to get my message out there so that it becomes common knowledge. So yeah, what you're saying. So what do I ask the guides for? How do I get to the next level of sharing my knowing?
So they're not being specific on that, but what they're saying is they really want you to be in the process of getting you to ask for what's the next level. And so there's that sort of, you know, there's that acknowledgement of like, hey, I know that there's more coming. I realize that currently I don't know what it looks like. You know, please show me and please be, you know, and please help me to be open to that. So it's not quite like being in the flow, but it's more just like opening yourself up to the flow. It's like if you were standing under a waterfall, except one where it wouldn't hurt to do that, because the waterfall is all golden and it's all light, so it's going to feel good. But just like sort of like surrendering to allow yourself to be filled, and that's what they're asking you to do, and to make sure that that's the practice. Let's see here. Any details? One moment. One moment. So that seems to be the message. And, of course, you know, things are really crazy up there. So always, you know, being careful how we ask is really important, because a lot of interesting things are trying to come in. But basically right now it's just the time of manifestation for you. And that's what they're asking you to embrace. So nice and easy.
Well, thanks for putting it in that format. Yeah, it's like when you said that, how can I put it? Yeah, when you said that and shared how to phrase the question, my body went into slump mode, which is what I call, you know, like the string puppets, the marionette puppets?
Yeah.
If you cut all the strings, the puppet just goes... And for me, that's like a formal... meditation. It's like all the stress and everything just went out of my body, just So, yeah, that's a good sign. So,
yeah.
Thanks so much, Al.
You're welcome. And also, if I can just give you one more. It is.
Yeah.
I just want to give you one more final comment. When you are in that slump position, that is actually a very powerful position for you to be in terms of what the energy, how the energy flows through your body, because when you're doing that, you know, when you see those like memes on Facebook, for example, and they have like the stars and you can see the stars in the person's body, and there's like an energy that comes through that, that is the energy that you are embracing when you're going into that slump pose. So it is actually, you know, a really, really strong, different way to approach how things are coming and transmitting through your body. So definitely an excellent practice for you to keep.
Yeah. Well, you'll just have to call me Slump Bob from now on. Oh, dear. Thanks, darling.
You're welcome, Bob. Have a good one.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and we have 845, and we have 203, but 845, you're up first. That's Elmai Hoshim Tara.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I got a question. Oh, I am sorry about you. Are you see me and getting money to come in because I want to travel?
Okay, let's see. And Maria from New York, I gather?
Yes, yes, how are you?
I'm good. About yourself?
A hot.
Hot, yes, I understand. Okay, one moment here, Maria. So this is interesting. So, Maria, I see that you're, again, another person who's in manifestation mode right now. That's really good. I see it kind of coming in, flying over your head, and you're having to grab it and embrace it, but also it's important to understand what it is that you're being given, because what I see is it's like you grab it, you've got something that's very good for you, but you're kind of like, eh, and it's like you're just going to sit on it. And like literally they're showing me like you pulling it down and literally sitting on it. And they're asking you to pay more attention to the things that are coming in. In terms of travel, let's see here. I just want to see if it's going to be enough to travel. So it does seem that there's a young lady, you know, cute, seems very, seems, you know, fairly nice. But she seems to be instrumental in helping you to travel, and she's saying that you're not listening to her. But if you were listening to her, all of a sudden I see you having an ability to sort of be flung off to go travel. But she seems to be an important part of the process. They're not showing me how it's going to be done. They've deliberately blanked that out. But there does seem to be something about you listening to a young lady. It's not me. But there does seem to be something about that where somebody...
Yeah, the younger lady, she's my daughter.
Okay. There you go. So, yeah, time for Mama to start listening to her daughter. But, yeah, your daughter will be able to help you with that.
She gave me a lot of attention, I know. Because I get the pension now. They're not going to be enough people travel to the pension, you know.
Yeah.
My daughter went there for a lawsuit. Maybe they give him money from the lawsuit.
If you have the right person, then yeah, absolutely. You can get money from the lawsuit.
They're going to be soon before we travel.
Let's see here.
I want to go run in September in Italy.
Right. Maybe the timelines are pretty close. There's a good chance that you're probably going to want to go travel before the lawsuit comes through. But they'll be in fairly close succession to each other. So the lawsuit, maybe December.
I see.
You know, your daughter's giving you good guidance. So that's important. The important thing to remember. But yeah, it is something that's on the horizon. You're just needing to, pay really close attention to things and not ignore things that you otherwise might not think are a big deal.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you very much.
You too. Bye-bye. Aww. Okay, one moment here. Just give me a moment. Okay. Oh, hold on. Sorry. Okay, area code 203203. It's going to be a really quick one, just to warn you in advance, but 203, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. How about this birthday message?
Sorry, is this Pat?
Yes, it is. I'm sorry, Pat from Connecticut. Hi,
Pat,
how are you?
Hi, good. How about yourself?
Well, it's been a roller coaster week, but I'm still here.
Good. So here's good. So what was your question, Pat? I couldn't quite understand that.
The birthday yesterday. Do you want to just do me a general birthday message or a general message?
Okay. One moment here.
Thank you.
So the point of the ups and downs were more just to get you back on track. Just to basically get you over the hump so that you can have the relief. Let's see here. So it's looking like there's some sort of pressure on you right now to be listening to the universe, but it's really interesting because it's like you're not wanting to listen to some of the things that are coming in, but it's actually not in your best interest to do it. So it's kind of like spirit's coming down to talk to Pat. Pat slaps spirit. And it's like, okay, that's interesting. Haven't had that one yet. But it's like, okay, so what are you supposed to be listening to? But it doesn't actually look like it's in your best interest. So there are times when, you know, we do get messages, you know, some people say guides and stuff like that. And it is possible to outgrow your guides. It's possible to be getting messages in from guides that, you know, aren't really going to be what you're going to want to be doing, either because you've outgrown your guides, because they don't know what you want or need in that moment. And it's not what most people think of, you know, when they're dealing with guides, is that sometimes you're going to have to sit down and have that conversation and say, look, this is not acceptable. This is what I'm doing. This is what I need instead. This is what you need to get on board with. You know, if you can't learn, take some time off, go study, get back to me when you're on the ball. You know, and that's not how most people think of as, you know, needing to talk to their guides.
Right.
But I'll tell you, I know a lot of people who are very, very strong who do absolutely have those conversations with their guides. And they're telling them to clean up their act, not from, you know, a place of weakness or I can't and it's your responsibility for me. It's just that the guides, sometimes the things that they're putting in are limitations of their own self, and they're sort of using you sometimes. It gets a little shady sometimes, you know, they're trying to use you to fulfill something within themselves, and it's not your path. It's not good for you. That's not what they're here for. If they need to go resolve those things, they need to resolve them, but not through you and directing you. So you're at that, like, sort of fork in the road of, like, you know, if you want to keep doing this, guys, you know, this is how it's going to go. This is what's acceptable. And, you know, anything you're putting through me or to me is for my benefit, not you working your stuff out.
Wow, that's a really message. But I will and, you know, I don't know, I'm not in touch with the guides, but I will sit down and send my messages to them. That's very interesting. And I don't really understand it, but I think maybe I do.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be able to feel them to just, like, sit there and talk to them anyways, because they can hear you, even if you can't feel it, right? Because somebody has a problem with running over dogs. You know, you don't want to be, like, running dogs over in the car because your guy's trying to get that resolved, right?
That's one example. Okay. So is it's difficulties with me that I need to say, okay, I'm done with this. You need to help me get on a smoother path. Is it sort of like that?
Well, it's more like say somebody tends to drive drunk and they've hit a few neighborhood dogs and they have the power, like say they finally crash into a tree, they go to the other side and they're trying to get their drunk behavior corrected. Okay, that's a positive, but they don't need to give you drunk vibes, make you drunk on the road, and then you're running over the dogs and crashing into the tree because they haven't resolved their stuff.
So is this why I'm just totally obsessed with getting in an accident and things like that and getting totally obsessed with the crazy young kids on the roads that gather 200 motorcycles a time to, you know, travel and terrorize everyone here? I mean, this has worried me because I'm worried about it, and I'm thinking, are you pulling this in or are you intuiting this? Since you're talking about...
Okay, well, that's really interesting because that came out of nowhere for me about using the, you know, the accident. So all the people coming through on the motorcycles, that's a very valid reason, and that one is yours because obviously that is something that you're needing to be aware of and be concerned about. But in terms of, like, you know, being in an accident, that's, like, kind of yours, kind of theirs, but it's kind of like being magnified a lot more than it needs to be. So like if it was just yours on your own, I mean, you need to be careful on the road. And a lot of people right now are getting very obsessed with car accidents, which is the darnest thing. So you're not the only one going through this. So there seems to be some sort of like massive learning there. But the car accident seems to be more of a metaphor about like holding on tight for what's needing to come next.
Okay.
So that is, so there's that for you, but it's kind of like getting messed up and your signals are getting crossed by, literally your guide, you know, having concerns for themselves about the car accidents. So it's just kind of like getting put through you, but it's going haywire. And so having that conversation saying like, this is your issue to work out with this.
Okay.
You know, my life is for me to work out my issues. And,
wow.
And making very clear that it's they need to make those distinctions. They're, you know, when you're on the job, you know, you don't bring the dog, you know, who's pooping everywhere to the office. At least I hope not.
That is fascinating about guides. It's fascinating. And that, I don't know if any of us would ever think it works that way. And it's so helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there are things that like latch on that, you know, sometimes they're just latching on. They're saying that your guides and you can't get away. Sometimes they're your guides. I've had a lot of them. And this, again, I've never heard this, like, you know, if you're seeing somebody who's more new to it, I've heard a lot of people say like, no, you know, they're your guides. They always have your best interests at heart.
Right,
but some people
right.
like their ancestors are their guides. Well, if your ancestors are your guides, they're only evolved as they are. Right. And,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely, you can have those conversations. So, Pat,
wow.
I hate to cut you off, but we're at the
it's
top
fine.
Of the hour now.
It was a great reading. I'm very, very grateful, and I love you, and you're amazing, and you're always so unique. Thank you, thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Pat. Okay, have a good one. Bye-bye. Okay, so we're at the top of the hour here now. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. You can call in. We're here at newsforthesoul.com. Again, you can find us online. You can find us in many devices. And you can also, you know, email into the mailbag and you can get your questions on the air. So again, that's ontheair@telus.net. That's tell us with only one L. Thank you so much, everybody. I love you. Come find me at my website as well, enlightenmentinthecity.com. Thank you. I love you. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com.